Morning or good day.
Hi.
Hi.
Happy Monday.
Hello.
Hi, good day.
Hi.
All right. Let's see. We have 22 people and we're 2 minutes in. That's a lot of twos, so I think we should start.
I would be happy to.
Paul, I think I'm going to start off with the announcements and you're going to go to objectives, right?
Right.
Okay. Let me share my screen. So, good morning or good afternoon or good evening, everyone. We're going to start off with some announcements today. So, first of all, there will be a tri-council meeting on August 28th at 10 a.m. I believe this is a Thursday. This is the normal product council time slot. So, they have kindly agreed to allocate that to a tri-council meeting. The goal of this meeting will be to uncover what is currently brewing and top priorities across the community with a changeover with the elections for all three councils. It's a good time for agenda review and setting. We will also have a tri-council and community we will have a community council meeting and a tri-council meeting on Friday, September 26th at WolfCon. The time slot for that will be from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Kansas City. Which is in Central Daylight Time. If you are a community council member and you've not already done so, please enter your availability into this Google Doc. And that will let us plan the agenda, how many people will be hybrid and in person. Importantly, for this year, we may invert the order from the traditional order and do the tri-council meeting first and then the individual council meetings second. So we're trying to gather availability information from all players. And then finally, Paul and I have been doing some work to try to distribute information. We do not have everyone's Google account, which may be important for accessing Google shared drives and necessarily your email. So if you could, if you're a community council member, if you could add that into this table, that will help make sure that you have access to all the materials that you should. Peter has kindly reminded us that there is a community council email list, and this is open to anyone who wishes to subscribe. I think there's about 40, 45 people on it. So if you're not in the CC and you want to join, feel free to enroll yourself. Paul, over to you.
Thanks. Great. So I hope everyone has gotten an email from me and Tom about today's meeting. And we wanted to reflect and come to a common agreement or especially understanding of what core challenges we are facing right now or in the past and how maybe to solve it and make our community more sustainable and a more community sustained software development community. And for now on, I want to go the way to have a look into the models. And we have prepared for the process a document that was also in the email linked in, reflection to the document and the perspective we have on the core problems, and everyone is asked to share his thoughts, ideas, or proposals. Anything you have on your heart, on your mind, just blow it into this, document. And if you are not a community member or the CC community member, just put your name in and share your thoughts as well. And I have seen, and I'm totally agreeing, I'm not in it as well, because I didn't share my thoughts as in the moment. So we want to start that process now. And for today, we go through the documents we have, the papers that are flying through the community. And let's see what way there is for us as a community to solve some problems, hopefully. And at first, we start with the blueprint. I think that was historically the first outline for some ideas, for some reflections on core problems or what maybe the way is to go. And then we go to the contribution network model and also to the community-driven development working group as well. And Jeremy Huff and Jen and Charlotte are supporting us today with the ideas. And I'm very happy that we come now together, share the thoughts, and reflect on what can we do and how can we do it in the future. And if Tom or anyone else have to say something else through that, point something special out.
Paul, I think that was a great summary. Just underscore your point is there's a lot of ideas and there are a lot of voices. So we're really trying to structure the feedback from everyone on Community Council and as many different community members as possible. So once we're done going through the models and not having discussion after each model, everyone will have time to write down what they think are the main problems that we're trying to address. And success for this, I think, will look like either we have a common problem statement or we have all the information to come to a problem common statement before our next meeting. So let's not get sucked into discussing individual details or pros and cons, because there are so many delightful rabbit holes. And here we're really just trying to come in at the top level. Okay.
And maybe I could add that we are very happy for each paper equally, and it's only a start for conversation and not an antagonistic overview about different approaches. It's only that there are some reflections about the current situations, and some ways are pointed out, and each model has their own purpose and their own perspective and their own date also. And that's why we want to find a way to have that summarized maybe or brainstormed today to come to a conclusion and a way forward. So Tom, it's yours.
Great. So I'm going to start off with the first model, which is called the Folio Blueprint. There is a link to this slide deck right there. And whoops, that's the wrong one. I should open the link. Dun, dun, dun. Here we go. So very briefly, in March of this year, there was a summit in Washington, D.C., that was delving into some of the key questions and opportunities facing the Folio community. The notes to the summit is something like a 35-page Google Doc are here. And then, as one of the action items, I produced this artifact. So I would have to say, I think this, in my view, this tried to reflect the discussions and needs that emerged, but at this point, it was only my reflections, not those of the community council or at large. Let me go into slideshow mode. So the meeting itself was really looking about sustainability, community participation, membership, and whoops, membership and governance. So high points were. We're spending about $500,000, or at that time, $500,000 a year on AWS, and membership revenue was only $340,000. There is no common way of the for the community to bear the software development and maintenance costs. Everything is done by individual institutions, whether they're libraries, service providers, or commercial firms. So the folio.org or the SMLLC does not actually have a role at this point, by and large. We really don't have any sort of software marketplace for encouraging firms to contribute code and maintenance of code to the ecosystem. Or we have a very inefficient one, I might say. And many libraries aren't involved or part of, they use Folio, but they're not really actively in the Folio community because they're coming through a hosted service provider. So we have a large and growing number of libraries that are using Folio for free, and then in the open source software environment, free as in beer, not as in kittens. So not necessarily contributing back directly or indirectly to the community. So highlighting just some of the supporting analysis for the conclusions in the summary, we only have about 40 institutions paying at that time, about 40 institutions paying in money to support the SMLLC. We do have a couple of hosting providers. We do have a couple of institutions or software development firms doing development and sometimes maintenance. And that's where money is flowing. The conclusion that I think of the summit, or certainly that I reached, is Folio, the community, needs to begin to get more money for direct contributions from Folio using libraries and pass-throughs from hosting service providers. We need critical money to support community roles and functions that are well served by being centrally funded and governed. So that might be things like release manager, QA lead, someone to help coordinate and lead product owners, et cetera. And we need money flowing to support software developers, and development, maintenance, enhancement, and innovation. And here is a diagram, being a visual person, that I found useful, which is looking at the four big entities. Kirsten Kemner-Heek helpfully suggested that maybe there is a fifth large entity, which is nonprofit service providers, which I think describes the situation within Germany and perhaps elsewhere. And basically, we don't, in many cases, we don't have these arrows flowing across the different entities, and that's what we need to cultivate. So institutional users, hosting providers, software development firms can and should also be contributing membership money and in-kind contributions. And in return, each of them provides software development or gets in return software marketplace, stable community operations, and stable OSS community, for example. I won't go through every arrow, because I think Mike is about to talk about some of these ideas in more detail. But that was a summary of the blueprint that came out of the March summit. Paul, should we do any immediate questions or should we hold all questions to the end?
I think in terms of our time management, it would be more suitable to have the discussion on the end, but I'm open for other suggestions.
Mike, why don't you take it? I would suggest if there are questions, people might contribute them to the chat or to the notes, and then we'll have a good log to address all of them at the end.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Would you like to share, Mike, or would you like me to drop? Or I would you like me to drive or to drop?
Yeah, you can drive. I don't have any other slides. I just would go to the document itself.
Well, that's one of these tabs. Sorry, I'm up to 307. There we go.
Yeah, so if you just go ahead and up to the top. Really, as Tom mentioned, this document was created based on the discussion that we had in that summit. And the goals behind this document were to try to help us generate or to give ideas on how to solve a handful of problems. And those are listed here in the executive summary. So a developer marketplace, a mechanism and a way for development organizations and those issue or those institutions or organizations that need development to sort of find each other. And so that's the first thing of the developer marketplace. So there's some ideas in this document about that. And then the other was to identify multiple revenue streams. So we wanted to be able to have an answer for development organizations who want to contribute code and continue to maintain that code within the Folio ecosystem, even if they're not, for example, a hosting provider. And so there's mechanisms there. Also wanted to talk about a way for organizations to get together and fund things to happen. Collaborative funding. So there's ideas in there. And then another big, meaty, and complicated part of this was to identify a mechanism by which we may handle the maintenance of Folio infrastructure. And so those were sort of the main themes. I guess the thing that is the things that are most complicated, really, the developer marketplace is pretty straightforward and providing a mechanism for organizations to come together and fund pretty not too hard, not rocket science. Even the multiple revenue streams, not really that complicated. But the thing that's very complicated is how do we fit maintenance in? And so the idea that was proposed in this document is basically you take all of the modules that exist in Folio and you sort of try to find a way to calculate their maintenance weight or burden. And I suggested using points for that. And I also suggested that the points are sort of calibrated to such that 100 points equals roughly one full-time person. And so you theoretically could, if you've done, after you go through that exercise, you could look at any given module and understand how much of a person's time it would take to maintain that. So high level, fairly simple idea. Obviously, the devil's in the details, very complicated to kind of put together. The document proposes pulling together outside of the communities, pulling there individuals from all of the organizations that do development, that do sizing, that do product ownership, and have them sort of assess this structure, this weight, the pointing mechanism, and try to establish whether or not that's actually feasible and how you would do that. So that's it's a very wide scope document, and some things are very are handled in less detail than others. But that's essentially the gist of the document. In terms of maintenance, there's an idea for in terms of funding for maintenance, there's an idea of a sort of a general funding pool, and so that is sort of your standard or general support pool, I should say, the sort of your standard approach to maintenance. You have these things that have been pointed. You know how many relatively how much of a person's time it's going to take to maintain those, and so you match those up. Then another idea is that some modules maintenance would be sponsored. So you might have an organization that says, we got it. We don't care what the maintenance points say, and we don't need any funded development. We're going to handle the maintenance of this ourselves. So that's under the maintenance options. It's the module sponsorship section. And then let's see. There's also a concept of a second tier support pool. So you may have, so the maintenance activities of a module within Folio, some of them are more rote, I guess. You have a new version of Vertex and you have to recompile and make sure that the module still compiles and runs with the newest version of Vertex, that kind of stuff. And but there are maybe other issues, performance issues that are not so rote that require more expertise. And so we throw out the idea here that you could have some organizations that don't that feel like they're not really interested or suited for sort of the standard maintenance, but they want to be available to share specific expertise when a community might need that. So I think I've touched on sort of most of the big ideas. There are definitely some issues, a lot of challenges here. One of the challenges when I think about maintenance cost is that a lot of the maintenance today is done during new development. And so as an organization or a team is building out new functionality, they may get reports of things that are found that are actually broken in prior releases, not part of the same, not part of the development process that goes on today. And so we have to rationalize that because you may have one organization that's paying for or contributing the new development, but then you have this maintenance stuff that's coming in. And so how do you reconcile those? That's just one of the challenges. So it's a big document with a lot of ideas, a lot of details. None of them or they're not all perfect. I suggest for me that the best next steps would be to have, besides getting the council's view on things, but to get that group of development experts together and really kick around the idea of pointing systems or pointing modules and see if that's practical. Try to get a handle on how much maintenance has activity has happened over time so that we can gauge sort of what the pointing system might look like and if that holds together. Yeah, so that's in a nutshell, that's sort of the Folio Contribution Network trying to solve many problems, trying to put sort of specific ideas out there for people to react to.
Great. Thanks, Mike. There's a couple of comments in chat, but I think we can leave them there for now. Are there any questions for clarity for Mike, or should we jump into our third and final model for today? All right. Jeremy, Jen, Charlotte. I've seen at least one of you on the call, so I'm confident we'll have a speaker. Would you like to present the third model?
You're willing to do for me what you just did for Mike. That seemed to work pretty well.
Sure.
I can't be bothered to scroll.
Ooh, I get Gemini is going to do some fancy stuff. Oh, this gives a summary, Jeremy. You don't have to do anything.
I've been replaced already. Hi, folks. I've been working with a working group, a tri-council working group, on a kind of a specific subset of these conversations, which is this idea of community-directed or community-driven development. The idea here basically just comes from the observation that a lot of the development that happens in the context of Folio happens, and this has been mentioned, already by kind of individual contributing institutions or maybe loose coalitions of institutions for the purpose of getting some development done, but it's kind of in the periphery. And as Tom pointed out, Folio governance is not involved in that process. And so, in a sense, even though I do think you could definitely say that it is community members doing this development, there is not this idea that the community in a uniform sense is driving the development. I would say that this approach that we're about to go over is probably a little more focused on a specific problem that's been addressed. It goes maybe a little bit deeper in one area, though I admit it doesn't go super deep. The goal here was to present something that was maybe the simplest possible representation of something that could be called community-driven or community-directed development. And I'll just kind of go over in broad strokes what's laid out here. So the idea is that we introduce some sort of formalized process for the proposal of a development initiative. So we're calling this thing a development initiative proposal. It's got seven phases. You have to believe that I tried to fight the urge to call them layers so we could have a seven-layer dip. That would have been awesome, but yeah, so initial phase would just be the creation of this proposal and submitting that to one of the three councils. It could start off preliminarily, pretty light on detail. The idea being that once it enters into this governance pipeline, that there could be iteration between the sponsoring organizations that are putting forward the DIP or the DIP, and governance. The different councils are going to probably have different perspectives on what needs to be developed. They could kind of provide feedback from the perspective of their remit. In the third phase, if everything's going well, you'll see an endorsement by the three councils. At that point, the councils, basically, this is a process for getting the FOLIO organization to kind of take ownership over a development initiative. So once endorsed, an RFP could be created on behalf of the FOLIO organization in order to try to contract with developers to get this work done. MOUs on the backside would be used in order to collect in-kind or financial resources from the sponsoring organizations that could then be funneled through FOLIO Org. I think to some degree, this simplifies the financing piece just because you would end up with a single contract between FOLIO's organization and the contractor. MOUs are a little bit lighter weight on the side of the sponsoring organizations. So I do think that there is some simplicity there. It does seem important that a single point person to kind of drive the process forward is designated to kind of act as a liaison and guide this process through implementation. I think that steps six and seven are familiar to us, just in that once the work starts on this, it probably should follow along the already established patterns of development when it comes to our release cycles and the things that we're used to seeing when it comes to development of Folio. And then finally, an intentional archival phase. It should be well defined, like what the point of termination is on one of these development efforts. I did include some notes here, just this idea that this is intended to be a living document that it can be iterated over time. Also, I want to point out that one of the things that this document hasn't gone into so much is what would be potentially the incentive for organizations to engage with Folio governance in this way, when they could just arrange themselves outside of the context of Folio governance. So I'm just going to throw some points out in that regard. One is that I do think that including Folio governance in these processes strengthens Folio governance, which from my perspective at least is an important aspect of sustainability for Folio. I think a healthy and strong governance model is something that will help Folio sustain on into the future. So that's a benefit, but a more maybe immediate benefit could be that if there were funding pools or resources that the community had set aside for the purpose of development, these DIPs could request those funds or resources be contributed towards the specific development initiative. So, those could be meted out at the discretion of governance. So it could be, I mean, I don't think it would be like necessarily a matching thing, but something along the lines of, being able to kind of pick up some community resources through going through this pipeline might incentivize participation with this process. And then I think for my part with Mike's proposal, my favorite part of it, there's a lot of good things there, but my favorite part of it is the maintenance piece. And so I do think that one of the areas where these initiatives, as they're being conceived, should be encouraged by Folio governance to be mature is in how they envision whatever is being produced will be maintained. That's something that should be addressed on the front side of development. And then last thing I want to say is just that this idea is, again, it's just kind of a vertical slice of the problem. And I don't see it in any way as exclusive to any of the other ideas that have been presented. It seems like something that could be compatible with, a lot of the observations made by Tom and Mike today. It might just maybe it's a good starting place, a good first step into addressing some of these issues.
Thanks, Jeremy. I do have one just clarifying question. So your proposal is agnostic on maintenance, except that proposal should have a consideration for maintenance.
Yeah, that's admittedly pretty hand wavy, but just in that I don't necessarily feel like this process was put forward to solve that problem, but I did want to observe the fact that it could support a fleshed out solution to that problem.
Right, thank you. Okay. At this point, what we'd like, thank you, Mike. Thank you, Jeremy, and others who worked on this. It's really nice to see well thought out and some seasoned proposals come forward in writing. This is more than half baked, I think. At least we have some really good concepts. What Paul and I would invite everyone on the call to do right now is go to the shared reactions doc, which 10 of you or 13 of you are in, which is the link right here. And we'll take 5 minutes and just write down what Alexis, I volunteered you just as an example of someone who could add their name if they weren't on the community council. So everyone else, please, I know we've got lots of extra people, Mike, Simeon, Christopher, I can keep going, but you know who you are. Please copy paste this and add your own reflections. What are the problems that we're really trying to address? Each of these is actually, I would say, there's slightly different issues that they're tackling. So, what's the core problem? And if there's something that speaks to you, that really resonates as a potential solution, go ahead and write that down under the top one to three solutions. Is that clear? The beauty of this document, there's a couple of beauties of this document. If you were not able to attend today and you want to add input, you can. Also, we can see and reflect on everyone's input. So with that, I will be quiet and let's get back together again once the document is much more fleshed out.
Tom, folks that aren't on CC don't seem to have edit access.
Yep. Thank you, Jen. Can people try it now? Okay, Alexis is giving a thumbs up. Thank you. All right, I'm going to drop the share and let's just work. I see several cursors are still moving. If you finish, go ahead and take a glance over what other people provided. And if you're still working, keep working. Okay, I think the popcorn is beginning to slow down. There's less popping. If you're still working, please continue. Why don't we transition to some discussion and observations? There's a lot in the document, so I think trying to do a summary is going to be quite challenging, even for Gemini. Does anyone have a point that they'd like to bring out or a pattern that they're observing at this point?
This is Sean. I'll start. I think there's some resonance with the idea that maintenance is now becoming something that deserves more attention than it had in the past.
Thanks, Sean. I will say some of the other themes, which don't seem surprising to me, are there's not enough resources. I see a theme about governance. There could be more governance. I also see maybe some countervailing themes with people talking about calibrations or lightweight So not getting too top heavy. So that there's an interesting dynamic there. Jeremy.
I feel like if I could characterize what I'm seeing in the observations about governance is maybe not necessarily more governance, but just maybe more effective governance. But isn't that always the observation about governance?
We'll take that to committee.
Nice.
Martina.
I'm seeing, like, in the documents and the answers in this spreadsheet, that we are differentiating between, like, the maintenance and the new functionality. And I think that is important when we try to solve these issues, that we really have different buckets that need solving, and we as a community need to prioritize what is more important, like maintenance. And taking care first of maintenance and then looking at new features, prioritizing new features, because we maybe first of all need to take care of that what we have is working.
Thanks, Martina. Charlotte.
Just a quick question to what Martina just raised, and I can also see maintenance is listed several ways. Are we very specific and thinking of maintenance as bugs, or is it also functionality which is implemented so thin thread, so it is not really, expected functionality for an advanced, fully fleshed LSP.
Continue.
From my perspective, I would say the latter. For me, it's not only taking care of bugs, but like when w you provide as a development team new functionality, I think you need to be aware that you need to take care of, like, that the system is evolving. We are now changing from Okapi to Eureka, for instance, and everything needs to be able to work in a new environment on a new platform. And this cannot only be done by the development teams that maybe provide the new functionality, but this should then become a shared responsibility and funding, but not only for the bugs because something is wrong, but for long term, just being able to stay part of Folio and work in a new and evolving Folio environment would be my perspective.
All right, this is, I think, would anyone else, do they have anything that they would like to share with the group at this time? And Jeremy.
I'm only doing this because it seemed like there was a lot of space to jump in there and say something. This has nothing to do with my document at all that we put out there. But I do think the funding issue, one of the things I'm seeing scrolling through here is, gee, it would be great to have more resources. And it is undeniable that the bulk of the community resources are heading to AWS. So I do think that from my perspective, the primary thing that we could do to empower us to find solutions to all of these other problems is to solve that one problem. I think that by freeing up resources, it would give us the ability to make some decisions and make some moves. I think part of the frustration here is that We are observing these problems, but we feel like our hands are tied because we really don't have any ability to move or make changes because everything's being tied up in this one bucket. So I do think solving the AWS problem is priority number one. And I, for my part, my favorite solution that I've heard thrown out there for that is to try to make a move away from hosting community environments and these necessary environments in AWS, and maybe look at what could be done by allowing institutions that participate in Folio that have the ability to host environments in Folio to donate or contribute environments to the Folio community at potentially a much lower cost than what we're seeing in AWS. I think that that's a real, from my perspective, that's a really smart way to try to free up some resources.
Thanks, Jeremy. That gives a beautiful segue to where I think Paul and I would like to take the discussion next. I think coming out of this, we see two good opportunities. The first of which is, can we understand what problems people think we're trying to solve? I do like the Einstein quote, and I'll repeat it again. If Einstein, the internet says that Einstein said that if I only had an hour to solve a problem, I would spend the first 55 minutes defining the problem and then 5 minutes solving it. And I think that's where we are right now. One of the things that Paul and I will commit to coming back with is some sort of summary or description of the problems that people put into this. And if anyone would like to do their own analysis, please do that as well. We'll see how much clustering there is. And then, Jeremy, the other idea that which you just provided a great example of, there's a lot of energy, and some of these things are more, some of the solutions or approaches are more feasible and already have a good amount of traction. So we wanted to do a sort of a heat map to see what's come up and what might be more tractable in terms of bite-sized steps. We can do more, we're a large community and a diverse one. We can probably do more than one thing at a time, and we probably need to. So I think that the community-hosted model for environments is a good one that we could try to flesh out if there's enough traction or people want to put that forward. I'm anticipating that for August, our next meeting, which will be August 25th, we'll have some new community members, and we might be doing some prep for the August 28th Tri-Council meeting. At the August 28th virtual Tri-Council meeting, clearly, one or more of these topics will be things that the community council thinks are important. And I think we should all be anticipating that we'll make significant progress on this by the time we have the community council and tri-council meetings at WolfCon in September, which is about 6 weeks away at this point. So we're putting together kind of a glide path, and hopefully that can be kind of a watershed moment. We'll pass a major milestone. Maybe we'll have solutions, but maybe we'll just have a really good definition of the problems we're trying to solve and some tractable approaches. Paul, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Only thank you for this brief and perfect summary.
I'm as good as Gemini sometimes, but probably use more words.
With more insights.
Yeah, but less electricity. Okay, if we have nothing else at this point, we might start a new trend of ending community council meetings 5 minutes before the top of the hour. Peter, you'll cope. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank
Thanks, everyone.
you. Bye.
Bye.